So I asked the kids who has heard the story of the parting of the Red Sea. Now it's your turn. Who here has heard the story of the parting of the Red Sea before? Yeah. Who's heard it since childhood in church and probably school? Yeah. I like to make a distinction because sometimes you might not have heard it at church. But it's certainly a story that most people who read the Bible or heard stories from the Bible, if they've heard one, this is one of them. I know I've heard it many times, even though I didn't grow up Lutheran. I grew up Presbyterian, and I was born in Texas and then moved to Oregon as a young child. I didn't become Lutheran until I was in my mid-20s, very moved by the theology of our church, by the work of God in our church. But I definitely heard the story of the parting of the Red Sea. It's a story, a biblical account, that raises many questions for most people. Oftentimes it's not, did the Red or the Reed Sea, as it's referred to, really part, because there have been many accounts in this area of the world that show that this sea was pretty low in water and that at certain times it would move back and the waters would part. So not always an account of, did this really happen? Many times it's an account for, what does this really mean to us? Why did that happen? The Israelites have just fled Egypt 3 days before. Not a lot of time has passed, but enough time that the Pharaoh wakes up and thinks, why did I let them leave? Especially if they're going to start wandering and taking the long path to what they were doing. For them, it was the promised land, but the long path to wherever they are going. Why are they just wandering around in the desert? The Israelites were trying to avoid running into the Philistines. They've just escaped a life of slavery, servitude. They've encountered many plagues, so seeing things and experiencing acts in their lives that are unknown to them. They're in the midst of grief. I've been using that word a lot this week because I just began orientation at Alta Bates Hospital, where I'm doing a year of residency as a chaplain. So grief is something that I keep hearing about because, of course, people come to the hospital in grief, whether that is from upcoming medical procedures, perhaps their family has died. Like the Israelites, they're in the midst of grief, some type of loss occurrence in their life. The armies are approaching the Israelites. They see them. They are in fear. What now, God? What do we do? You brought us out of slavery just so that we could be captured again? Why, God? I don't think Pastor Jeremy knew what was happening or what would happen in our world right now when he planned for a sermon to be preached on Exodus 14, which talks about what the sea did, parting, this miracle that, as we know it, hasn't been seen like that before. Though when I turned on the news today to check up on what's going on, I heard that in the Bahamas, maybe some of you heard this, the wind was so strong, it was able to pick up the water and move where the seashore is. So it's moved where the beach is, but they say that the water should recede back and be restored to a normal state. I don't think Pastor Jeremy had in mind what was happening in our world right now, as devastation has hit places like Texas, the Caribbeans, the Bahamas, what we know is going to happen in Florida. But it is a testament today of what still happens with our earth, with what happens globally, things we don't always understand, the fires, the flooding, what the earth is capable of. Even for myself, in Oregon, there's fires going through the historic Columbia Gorge. And I grew up taking hikes at places like Multnomah Falls, a beautiful area there, that now surrounding it, so many places have been burned to the ground. So just devastation in our world for so many people, like the Israelites who are crying out, God, why? God, help. What next? The Israelites cried out, what have you done to us? And God responds, and Moses delivers the message, the part of this whole chapter that I would like to concentrate on, because there's so much depth in this reading. And this week, as I prayed about what is speaking to us today, the part where Moses speaks to the people delivering God's message, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still. Another translation of this that I found has the wording, the Lord will battle for you. You hold your peace. There's different ways that we can look at what this wording means for us today, especially in the way that different translations have us read it. In the first one, keep still. Stillness. The place that we can enter into with God that allows us to pause and really be present with where the Spirit needs us now and where we must go. Stillness. A place we can go to in prayer, whether it's with words or simply in the quiet where we offer our emotions to the Lord. Our other translation, hold your peace. Not meant as something to be of insult, like they're doing something wrong, but rather to help them know that God knows ultimately what is best. Hold your peace, that I am present. And God's peace doesn't always match that of which what we expect or we want in this world. Stillness, peace. In the midst of that is trust. It would lead us to needing to be in a place of trust. And this isn't a trust that we want to automatically jump into, meaning, oh, I must have faith. Because faith is that of which our heart is drawn to and committed, does not leave. We are to faith with our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are committed as if in a marriage, a vow of I do. And trust is that place where we bring ourselves to God, to leave up to God. What is it that your path would lead us to? And we see witness to this in the last couple weeks as we trust in God's way. Because while we might be silent and in peace, and that sounds like a very complacent place to be, as if one might be saying, oh, well, don't do anything at all and everything will be solved if I just trust. But rather, it's the place that allows for God to be at work. And we see the amazing hands of people who have gone in to Texas and helped save those who are trapped in their homes. Or people who have donated money, people making lemonade stands so that the people in Texas and soon again in Florida, and I pray and I know it'll be in the Caribbeans and the Bahamas, so they can rebuild their lives. God's hands, our hands led by God to be active in this world. The one-time event of the Red Sea parted, the people being asked, trust in me, be in peace. The Red Sea is parted. And today here we are, still being asked by God, trust that I am still among you, leading you. Trust that I will bring you to the action that is necessary to restore goodness. When I originally started planning this sermon before I knew what was happening in our world, I thought automatically about how the sea, the waters of the sea parting, can remind us today as Christians how we learn from the story of the Old Testament. A reminder of how our baptism each and every day brings us to new life. That reminds us that God is in our life, forgiving us each and every day. That was the message I originally thought of right away. But as I've watched what's been unfolding in our own world today, I see God moving us from a place where we are reminded of our baptismal promise and moved into the action that moves us to neighborly love. So if anything that I can deliver as a message to people that I don't know, but maybe I'll see again in these times that are hard and very uncertain for what is to come, is to hear the words that God delivered so many years ago and still delivers to us today. The Lord will battle for you. You hold your peace. We take a moment and we look to God and we find where we are to trust. Where is our stillness today? Where is the peace that God is delivering? It's still there. And it never leaves. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.